Beautiful. Forgot to turn on the old iPad.
Oh man. Friday. Friday.
Welcome to the Wolverine Digest Podcast, the best spot for objective, authentic coverage of Michigan athletics. If you want open dialogue, honest opinions, and in-depth coverage of the maize and blue, this is the podcast for you. And now, here's your host, Brandon Brown, joined as always by Chris Brandler.
Cause it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
I'm just going to start by saying go blue.
There you have it. There you have it. We're rolling in. Forgot to turn on the iPad at the onset there, but I don't think anybody was in here yet, so it probably doesn't matter until we put this up on the podcast. You'll hear my little...
You don't think they caught it? You don't think they caught your mistake out there?
According to StreamYard, there wasn't anybody in here yet, but... No, every time I plug in and unplug the iPad, I have to give my computer access to, like, use it as a soundboard every time, and I forgot to do that this time. So, anyway.
Very, very technical.
It's a little technical, but it's pretty simple. I just forgot to push the button this time. But anyway, we're here on a Friday night, man, feeling good about a lot of things. One being Michigan's matchup with Maryland tomorrow afternoon. We will get into that very specifically a little later on. And, man, Michigan basketball tonight. How about a 12:30 tip-off for a basketball game? I mean, we're going to be well done with the podcast. All the stuff's going to be published for the day. Probably have a couple things published and ready to go for tomorrow morning before the game even starts tonight. So that's going to be a late one. I will put together a post-game recap, the five takeaways that I always do. Hopefully it's a win this time. But, yeah, that's a late one. 9:30 out in Vegas is even kind of a late start. But
dude, I'm already struggling. Like with the time change, yeah. It's getting dark out early. Like I think it was like 5:30. I was talking to my wife. I'm like, I don't know that I'm going to be as good on the podcast as I normally am. Like normally on the show, I'm great. I'm full of energy. I'm funny. I'm hilarious. I'm good looking. Like people love it, but I'm concerned. I don't know that I can bring it all tonight because I'm a little sleepy.
You got to bring it, dude. We got to buck up. It's Friday night.
All right.
We should be good to go. We're going to talk about the basketball game real quick. It's kind of one of those weird things. Like the basketball game's not for several hours. So people watching right now, it's good. But if anybody listens to this tomorrow morning or through the weekend, like obviously the basketball game will be over at that point. But anyway, I mean, Michigan's expected to win. They're favored by 12.5, but I guess we'll start right there with the time. How weird is that, do you think, for these guys to, like, it's freaking midnight, 12:30, yeah. And they're just starting the game. I mean, they're young. They're going to be up. It's not like they're going to be dragging like us old guys, right? But that's got to be a little bit weird on the body clock to get a basketball game going at 12:30.
It's strange. I didn't do it for sports, but you know, in my previous career, I was traveling all over the country for sales and you would be in Vegas often, would be on the East Coast and you would feel it. But I feel like once your feet are on the ground, your body just sort of like acclimates to wherever you're at. You might feel a little bit tired, but these guys are pros. They're trained. They're obviously in much better shape than you and I are physically, mentally. So I would expect them to be ready, good to go.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point from Matthew. I mean, they'll literally be playing until like 3 a.m. Like that's pretty substantial. I think I'm with you though. I think they'll be fine. Certainly looking for a bounce back after the tough loss to Seton Hall. I don't know a lot about UNLV, full disclosure. I haven't really studied up on them yet. I planned on doing that a little bit before the game to kind of get myself prepared for the write-up and what to look for and stuff like that. Tony Petroski, absolutely not. Chris will not be wearing pants by the time that game tips off. I don't think there's...
No. You're lucky I'm wearing them now.
I mean,
when the sun goes down.
Let's be honest. There's no freaking way that Chris will have pants on at that time. All right, so the basketball game will get going at midnight, 12:30, run till 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. I would assume other people are going to put some stories out. I will try to have mine pretty much written before the game ends and then just publish that bad boy, go to bed. We get up tomorrow. Huge game at noon between Michigan State and Ohio State. I know all Michigan fans will be tuned into that one, and then Michigan will kick things off at 3:30 out in College Park. And for that, to get yourself prepared. Yesterday, I recorded with Ahmed Ghafir. He runs Inside the Black and Gold, has been covering Maryland football and basketball and sports for 6 or 7 years, going back to the Randy Edsall days, obviously through DJ Durkin. Michigan fans remember him. And then now under Mike Locksley. Locksley hasn't been very good, man. We talk about that in this thing. I'm about to run it here in a minute. He's 11-22, dude. I didn't realize he was that bad. Like, that's bad. 11-22 seasons. Every year you kind of hear about Maryland being like, well, kind of got to watch out for the Terps this year. And then you don't. You don't have to. And it kind of looks like that for tomorrow, Michigan favored big. So without further ado, here I am in a different shirt. Oh, by the way, I almost wore the same shirt again, just to make it a clean sweep through the week.
Like a uniform? It's officially
podcasting uniform at this point. But I didn't, and I also have a different shirt on in this video. So it is what it is. Here we are. Here I am talking about Maryland with Ahmed. Really good stuff. He gives us about 18 to 19 minutes of, you know, who's doing what, how good is Taulia Tagovailoa, what's Maryland good at, what are they bad at, and then he gives his prediction for the game as well. So keep it locked and listen to what he's got to say. Really good stuff. We are now joined by a special guest to break down the Maryland Terrapins. We are joined by Ahmed Ghafir from Inside the Black and Gold. You've been covering Maryland for 6 or 7 years now, some ups, some downs. We're going to get into a little bit of that today, but thank you so much for the time, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, Brandon. I appreciate you having me on, man.
Well, let's get right into the season right now. You said you've been there since Randy Edsall was there, so it's obviously there have been some ups and some downs over that time. And this season's kind of felt that way a little bit. Right now the Terps are 5-5, but, man, some of the losses against the better teams have been, like, pretty lopsided. I just wonder, what's the vibe coming into this weekend's game, another good team in Michigan? The spread's pretty big for being the home team. I think it's 14.5 right now the Wolverines are favored by. What are Maryland fans thinking about this season right now in 2021?
Yeah, I think Maryland fans, kind of that first 4 weeks of this season, at least, there's a lot of optimism kind of just with year three, starting out 4-0, seeing the offense kind of clicking on all cylinders. And then, you know, the Iowa game happened, and I think it was just kind of the way that Maryland lost. It wasn't, the fact that they lost the game. It was the fact that there was kind of questions about effort and consistency in that game. And you didn't really see effort. That was something that that really came up after the fact that fans were noticing, but you definitely start to see some fans that are a little bit pessimistic now, wondering whether Maryland can turn the tide. And then there are some fans that see that Maryland is remaining more competitive against these top teams like the Penn States, like the Ohio States, like the Michigans. And that wasn't the case a couple of years ago. So I think you're starting to kind of see a little bit more polarization. But I think from covering Randy Edsall to DJ Durkin and now under Locksley, you definitely still see a lot of these fans, especially the local fans, that acknowledge that Locksley is a guy that, just being a Maryland guy, knowing and having that touch, that feel for what needs to be done from recruiting to improve the roster of talent. So again, you're starting to kind of see that split between the fans. And then from a team perspective, they're definitely battling through the adversity, trying to get back on the same page. And, at the end of the day, trying to get to their first bowl game since 2016.
Well, they're a game away from that. We'll see what happens this weekend. You mentioned Mike Locksley a couple times there. It's his third season. He's just 11-22. I mean, that's not a great mark. And every year it seems like Maryland is kind of picked as one of these teams like, kind of got to watch out for them. They're starting to stack up some talent. They've got some guys at some positions and kind of coming up short. I mean, what's the thought around Mike Locksley in year three? Is this beginning to feel like a hot seat type of situation, or what kind of leash does he have as we get closer to the end of this season?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that hot seat coming off this season. I wouldn't say that's fair. I think next season, if Maryland can't pick it up, if you see like a 3 or 4 win season, you're going to start calling for fans that, call into question with his job security, how long he stays, things like that. But I'd say right now that's just not something that is on the table, just because of, just kind of coming in. Obviously he took over a program that was just coming off the Jordan McNair tragedy. So just from a cultural perspective, getting buy-in, I think that's kind of there. And I'd also say that in that Iowa game, there was a clear shift in the game itself. I think right after Iowa went up, I believe either 3 or 10 points on the kick return, return. Dante Dimas went down. And so not only, I believe it was actually down three. Dante Dimas went down on that kickoff. Maryland lost the ball. Iowa took over at the 10-yard line, and Dante Dimas just had a obviously ended up being a season-ending injury. So I think there were a lot of fans that kind of looked at that, and there was a very clear difference in just the feel, the energy in the stadium, the energy even in the team and their performance from just really before and after that injury. So I wouldn't say hot seat just yet. I think fans are kind of mindful, and I would say that at the receiver room, they just lost another receiver heading into this weekend's game in Marcus Fleming, and he's the third receiver joining Dante Dimas and Jashawn Jones. So Jashawn Jones and Dimas, those were the top two guys in that receiver room, especially Dimas. I mean, he's a NFL caliber receiver, and kind of replicating his success, his skill set, and just with that 6'4 frame, he's just a guy that can really go up and get those balls in the red zone. And then he does a really good job just getting into that second level on the crossing routes, things like that. So replacing him, it was going to have to be replaced by committee. And then Jashawn Jones was that number one guy, and then obviously he went down. So I think there are definitely some areas where Maryland, they clearly know where they need to kind of elevate that roster level. So I think fans are staying a little bit patient. But I think 2022, if things don't pick up, you'll start to see that.
Well, perfect segue into the next question. You talked about the injuries at the wide receiver position, and there's some talent there, but they're banged up. And they've got a really good quarterback in Taulia Tagovailoa, a talented kid. Everybody knows the name, obviously, as Tua's younger brother. But Jim Harbaugh was really, really complimentary of him earlier this week. He said that he's got a whip for an arm. They really enjoy watching him play and throw it around. Not so much this week as they're getting ready to defend him, but he doesn't have his full, his full complement of receivers. So kind of a two-part question. How good is Taulia Tagovailoa? And then how good is he now because of what he's dealing with and who he has to throw to?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd say that there are definitely strides. I'd say 90% of the time you see him make the right reads. You don't see him forcing. You see him using his mobility to his advantage to one either extend the play or just pick up the yards that are available to him. But you definitely see those times where he just has those moments of lapses and he makes the costly error. And you saw that last weekend in Michigan State. I believe they were at the 10-yard line, kind of forced a ball, ended up being a pick at the 1-yard line, and Michigan State responded, turned it into a touchdown. And if Maryland didn't throw that interception, if they converted a touchdown, it would have been a single digit deficit. Whereas they commit that turnover, Michigan State turns it into six, and then all of a sudden that turns into a 3-possession game. So it's just, you just see those are definitely the areas where he has that the room to grow. But you definitely see, again, it is the 90%. So when you do say you do see some improved decision making and the awareness there is some credence to that because he has shown it at times. It's just there when those lapses do happen, it happens and it ends up being very costly. But I will say that Loxley, he did mention earlier this week that they have this philosophy where it's in the red zone, you either you go upfield or you check down, essentially. So essentially Loxley acknowledged that in that on the interception he had a guy in the flat, so things like that. So I'd say he does have the arm strength. The RPO game is definitely available. I think he has a very good grasp of just what Mike Loxley, what offensive coordinator Dan Enos wants to run. I definitely see the strides, but wouldn't be surprised if he comes back for another year. I think you kind of see where he can take that next step as a quarterback. So it will be interesting to see what he does this offseason, but definitely see some strides, but not all the way there yet.
And on the other side of the ball, this is probably what most Maryland people, fans and people in the program would say is their, kind of their downfall. They give up a lot of points. Their defense isn't stopping a lot of people. I pulled a couple of the numbers. They're 77th against the run. Michigan loves to pound the ball. They love to run it. I feel like they'll probably be able to do that. They're 105th against the pass and 102nd in points per game given up at just under 32. So, they're not stopping people. They've got an offense that can be explosive and score some points, but they're also giving up way too much on the other side. Can this defense stop a Michigan offense that loves to run the ball and take some shots with Cade McNamara and its talented receivers down the field when they have that opportunity?
Yeah, I think Maryland's kind of, surprisingly enough, the back end was supposed to be, on the defensive side, the back end was supposed to be an expected strength kind of coming into the season, and definitely the strength on the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, Deontay Banks, he was a guy that, you know, Maryland, beginning of the season, they admitted that they saw three starting cornerbacks, and Deontay Banks, Ja'Cory Bennett, and Tarheeb Still, and Deontay Banks went down, I believe, in non-conference play that third or fourth game. And Maryland fans haven't seen him, but Tarheeb Still was a guy that, as a freshman, in those four games that he was available, looked really good. And I think that Maryland has really seen, even despite the confidence in those two corners, they've been very vulnerable to the big plays, whether it's in man or zone. They've tried at times to kind of minimize the big plays and switch up. They try and primarily play in man coverage, switch it up in zone. But Penn State, you know, they capitalize even on that zone coverage. A double move by Jahan Dotson beat Nick Cross to the safety, and Dotson found the end zone for his first touchdown. So right there, I think you kind of saw that. I guess just the area of concern, really. But Maryland, you know, Loxy seemingly week in, week out through conference play. You've seen him talk about, you know, just Maryland defense giving up the big play. So it's been a little bit of a surprise just seeing how frequently the opposing offenses are able to attack. I think the biggest thing on the defensive side of the ball that Maryland sees is the improved defensive line play. And I think that's kind of been able to help a little bit. It's just doing it consistently against some of these bigger teams is kind of been a question mark right now.
Well, Michigan's defense has been pretty good. They had the one lapse against Michigan State where Kenneth Walker ran wild and kind of, I mean, that's their only slip up all season. Michigan fans are getting really, really used to and really excited about watching Aiden Hutchinson and David Ojabo come off the edge and pile up sacks. I mean, both guys might beat the single season sack record for Michigan history in the same season, which is crazy to think about. I know I'm sure Talia Tagovailoa has been watching film and keeping an eye on those guys. What's the offensive line situation like for Maryland at the tackle spots specifically, where they're going to have their hands full against these two guys?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because going into the Penn State game, Maryland actually made a shift on the offensive line. So they brought in JUCO from Hutchinson. His name is Eric Harris. He had started up until that point, after the Penn State, or in the Penn State game and since then, Spencer Anderson, he's a veteran who has experience playing inside and out. He is actually slotted now at center. And DJ Glaze, who's a new name, he's now the new starter at right tackle. And Glaze is a guy that, you know, they kind of been high on through the years, but coming into this season, he actually started over Jalen Duncan at left tackle. And even with a week before the Penn State game, he was taking snaps at left tackle in the first quarter and then right tackle in the second quarter. So definitely a guy where they see a lot of versatility and just added size. And I think that Maryland's offensive line has been a surprise because kind of coming into the season, there were just a lot of new pieces, lost two starters from last year. And then you're relying on a JUCO guy who arrived in July to kind of anchor that offensive line. So that's a big ask. So just kind of this move, you know, Loxie's, he's mentioned, and obviously, you know, if you know football, you know that center and that middle linebacker, kind of the captain of your offense, kind of helped get everything situated and things like that. So just having that veteran and Spencer Anderson kind of take over the center spot kind of helps. And then the added size from Maryland's offensive line, just with the tinker on the offensive line rotation, and just compared to last season, you know, Maryland last season had a 5'11", 6-foot center, very talented, very strong offensive lineman, but just getting that added size. But I'd say, I mean, Maryland's gone against some pretty good defensive lines at front seven. I mean, obviously Ohio State, you have Michigan State, you know, obviously this is Michigan, so you guys acknowledge that Michigan State has a little bit of room to grow. But I mean, just going against in that Big Ten style of play, you know, they're going up against some very good defensive lines. But Michigan's, I mean, it's kind of hard to say that this isn't the best defensive line they're going to face this season. I mean, like you said, Aiden Hutchinson, David Ojabo. I remember Ojabo was a guy that Maryland recruited out of high school pretty hard as well. So I think I think that's kind of where Maryland fans have their eyes set. They know that if Maryland wants to be able to establish anything, and Michigan does a really good job containing the run as well. So I think that's going to be where Maryland's going to have the biggest issues, where definitely if Maryland wants to move the ball, they're going to have to seal the edges. Maryland hasn't done well this year establishing the run. So it's going to be interesting, but my expectation is that Michigan's front four is going to be able to find success, especially on the edge against these Maryland tackles.
Well, you kind of started to do it there, and I've kind of asked you position group as we go here, but give me the overview in a nutshell. You know, maybe how the game starts, what do you think it'll feel like in the middle, and then how it might wrap up towards the end. And if you've got a prediction, I know I'm putting you on the spot a little bit here. It's only Thursday, but if you've got a prediction, how do you see the game playing out, and what do you think the final score might look like in College Park on Saturday?
Yeah, you know, I thought that against Penn State, I was, you know, I'll admit it, I was a little bit pessimistic, and I kind of, ever since that Iowa performance, I've kind of been outspoken and saying, you know, Maryland's going to have to show that they can hang in order for me to say that I think they can hang. And I'd say that against Penn State, there were, you know, they had a shot at the end. I mean, it was an 8-point game, and you know, just again, it was a bad route, bad throw, and ended up leading to a pick six. So I think that Maryland, I don't think that they definitely can get blown out like in years past. I think this Maryland team has shown a little bit more fight, and even if they go down with an early 14-point deficit, I think that it's going to be a little bit tough. I have Michigan winning. I believe I said 31-13. I think I saw the spread. I know you said 14.5. I think I've seen anywhere between that, 15.5. So kind of in that range. So, but I do think that Michigan's going to cover. I think that Maryland's going to have a tough time offensively. I mean, like I said before, Maryland has not done a good job of one, establishing the run, committing to the run, generating consistent production on the ground. You start to tell that there's a very clear effort to establish a passing attack. And I expect Maryland from the first drive, you know, that scripted first drive, you know, maybe they'll use Tayon Fleet Davis a little bit. Penny Boone is a guy, he's a Michigan native. He's a guy that he's kind of stepped up and I believe led the unit last week in rushing yards. I think he finished second in attempts. You know, I think some names you're going to know at wide receiver. Carlos Carrier is a guy that he's kind of been a surprise so far. He has a great length at 6'3". Marcus Fleming, he's out for the remainder of the season. So Nick DeGennaro is a guy that you probably will see a little bit more of. DeJuan McDougal a little bit. So Rakeem Jarrett is obviously that alpha dog. He's the number one in the room. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, the linebackers, especially inside, have kind of been a work in progress. Brandon Jennings, who was actually former Michigan commit himself, Jeremy Spraggins, those are two new guys, first year guys, but they're playing a big role. Ruben Hippolyte, and I kind of mentioned the defensive line, but you know, I just think that Maryland's offense is going to have kind of a tough time moving the ball consistently. I see a lot of three and outs on Saturday. So I think this Maryland team, again, I think they're going to show more fight than Michigan fans have seen over the years. I think this isn't kind of like Rutgers, where you know, maybe five years ago, where you kind of guaranteed it as, I think it was that first game. What was it, 70-0 or 70-3 under Harbaugh? It was
78-0.
Yeah. It was a beatdown. So, I mean, you don't see that out of this Rutgers team anymore. And I don't think you see that out of this Maryland team. I kind of see it. I think I said 31-13. I'm kind of sticking with that. It'll be interesting, but this, I would say I have heard of some optimism and some energy just surrounding on the fact that this is senior day. And these guys, again, like I mentioned, just covering through all these coaches, you know, these are the guys, the senior classes, the guys that, you know, they were teammates with Jordan McNair, and they stuck through it, and they have been through hell and back when there was no coach and they just had to deal with media. So there's a lot of emotion that some of these guys are kind of moving past. So I think it's going to be interesting. But again, I think Michigan's going to get their 10th win this weekend.
There you have it. Very good stuff from Ahmed. He's been covering Maryland for several years now. So if, I mean, Michigan fans, I mean, he picked Michigan to win. You got to, I swear, man, I think every single guest I've had on this year has picked Michigan to win. And I come away thinking like, well, they're the expert. They must know how to go, right? I mean, yeah, we'll see. Will you be in attendance on Saturday? What's the outlook for the home environment? You mentioned senior day. Obviously, that's kind of cool. But what's the vibe around the stadium at College Park? I've never been there. I'm not going to be there this weekend. But what do you What do you anticipate?
Yeah, you know, I'd say that Maryland, you know, if you're kind of, you know, maybe know a little bit about, you know, Maryland has kind of struggled with fan engagement over the last 10 years, but I'd say this year the biggest takeaway is the students. The student section has actually been full pretty much every game. In the Penn State game, you know, these past couple of years, saw a lot of Penn State fans, but I'd say that you saw more Maryland fans get in there. I will say that I'm obviously, I know Michigan travels really well. They have a huge presence in the DMV, so yeah. It's going to be a lot of Michigan fans that I'm fully expecting. But overall, I think this is going to be close to a packed house between the Maryland fans, between the Michigan fans, just all these guys getting out. So I think I think it'll be a good atmosphere. It's been something that I was kind of hopeful to see, just because, you know, like I said earlier, just Maryland's really struggled with this fan atmosphere. I actually specifically remember Deshaun Jones when I talked to him out of high school, and he visited for the Michigan game during his official visit weekend, and he was like, yeah, there were no fans here. I want to come here and I want to change that. And that was really the first time it ever kind of stuck out where a recruit turned that into a positive. But yeah, Maryland, the fan engagement, even despite some of the, you know, maybe some of the fan feedback after that Iowa loss, has been a little bit improved this season. So should be fun to watch.
There you have it. Thanks so much, Ahmed. Appreciate the time, man. And we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate you having me.
All right. There you have it. As I said, good stuff from Ahmed. You know, gave us almost 20 minutes. I mean, he doesn't seem very optimistic. I mean, he talked about the weaknesses. I mean, like I said,
yeah,
you know, that's how Michigan gets to 9-1 on the year when you have guests from the opposing, you know, the opposing media market come on and say, yeah, Michigan's going to win. It was that way.
Somebody mentioned it in the comments, though. We didn't have somebody Michigan State week, right? We didn't have somebody.
We did not. I forget. So the Michigan State site for Sports Illustrated was going through a transition on that week. And that's right.
Okay. Yeah.
I've never really had like a, buddy situation with the Rivals guys over there. They don't like the Michigan Rivals team too much. And I used to be a part of that, obviously. So it is what it is. We also didn't have a full-fledged guest come on for Penn State either. I recorded with somebody ahead of time, and then our travels kind of got in the way for posting it, and I just didn't end up using the whole thing. I used parts of the video, and I used parts of what Mark said about the matchup to shape what I said and what I thought was going to happen, but he didn't actually come on and do a full spot either. So I don't know. I don't know if that was a jinx or not, but yeah, no jinx here. The expert from Maryland picks a pretty lopsided win. I mean, you could hear it in his voice. He wants to be hopeful. He wants right. it to be better than it's probably going to be, but it is what it is, man. I mean, Maryland has lost 5 games and they've been bad, man. They got blown out by Iowa. They got blown out by Ohio State. They got blown out by Michigan State. It's been every good team that they've played has rocked them pretty good. So you'd kind of expect it to be the same with Michigan tomorrow. So we will see how that plays out. All right. You ready to get into calling me dumb, calling me smart?
I love it. Yes.
My favorite part, man.
I've been waiting. This will be what wakes me up. Let's get it.
I will say, I saw somebody say, just waiting for the live version to come back. And I was thinking, I'm like, I'm getting anxious. I'm like, I have like anxiety because I want to come back and talk. And I know it's coming because I recorded with him yesterday. Yeah. I'm like, I want to say some things now. I want to say some things. All right, here we go.
Let's do it.
Chris, I think Cade McNamara will throw at least 2 touchdown passes tomorrow.
No, that's smart. That's okay. Smart. He's been on a roll. And I think especially after this last week, I just think he's really fully stepped into now that, you know, I'm not saying he hasn't played that role all year long, but I just think he took another step in his growth process on Saturday. I think he's playing really well. I think he's playing extremely confident. And I think Michigan is going to make an effort to move the ball through the air, even though they're probably going to be able to rush the ball with Hassan Haskins at will. I think you're going to see a healthy dose of Cade McNamara in the passing game. I think it's a smart call.
All right, dude. All right. So Eric All scored the huge game-winning touchdown against Penn State.
He did.
That was his first ever touchdown at Michigan, which is, I mean, even saying it, like, let me put it this way and see even how much crazier this way sounds. It took Eric All 27 games to score a touchdown.
It's crazy.
That's wild. That is wild because he's so talented. Michigan, Jim Harbaugh has obviously said that he thought Eric All could be the best tight end to ever play at Michigan. I don't know if it takes that guy's 27 games to score a touchdown if he's that good, or you just haven't been using him right, or I don't know. You could
he got the weird year, you know, his first
weird year. He's behind some pretty good tight end. Yeah. It is what it is. Eric All's going to score again tomorrow. He's getting in there again, two games in a row.
I would love to see it, but based on odds alone and how things have played out, that's a pretty dumb call, Brandon. I mean, like you just said, it took him, 27 games to score?
27 games.
And now you think for some odd reason he's going to do it in back-to-back games? That might be one of the dumbest calls you've made. Awful.
There you have it. Chris thinks I am dumb, dumb, dumb. All right. I thought this one was kind of fun. Normally we revolve our predictions and our things around statistics and, you know, actual trends in the game. How about this one, Chris? Hassan Haskins will jump over a Terp tomorrow. He's going to jump over a Terp.
That's easy money. You know that's going to happen. There's a couple things you can count on every Saturday when it comes to Hassan Haskins. One, he's going to jump over somebody. Two, he's going to drag five or six defenders for about an extra 10 or 15 yards. And he's going to do that multiple times. So I would say that's a very smart call. You can count on Hassan Haskins for those type of fireworks.
Yeah, we'll see if he does it again. I mean, he hasn't done it every game, but it's kind of become...
It feels like it. It's like his thing. Yeah, it's his thing.
So I think that I just kind of thought of it. I'll throw it out there. We'll see what he looks like. I expect him to play a lot. You know, we haven't heard anything definitive on Blake Corum, but I mean, if I'm Michigan, I'm sitting him out again. Let him get healthy. Let him come back. And if that's the case, that means a heavy dose of H2. That means more opportunities for him to jump over people. That's how I looked at it. Yep. I said this in the write-up. I put these five specific predictions up just a little bit ago. Go check those out at WolverineDigest.com if you haven't already. I try not to do layups on these. You know, I try to find something kind of specific, kind of step out a little bit. I mean, possible, but not super, super likely. This one's starting to feel like a cheat, but I don't care. Aiden Hutchinson and David Ojabo both record a sack tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think it's a given. You can at least count on both of them to get there once. I think it's going to be multiple times. We'll get into that later on in the show, but absolutely smart call.
I mean, they had five combined against Penn State, three for Aiden Hutchinson, two for David Ojabo.
That's both have easy 10. Money. Yeah.
They both have 10 on the year. They're both looking to break that record in the same season. Incredible year for Ojabo, especially because he kind of came out of nowhere. I feel like it's a bit of a layup, even though it shouldn't be. When we talked about this at the beginning of the year, remember, I was always like, sacks always screw me over. Yeah. Nobody ever knows. I feel like you know. I feel like you know these guys are going to get to the court. Like, if they don't, it's like, what the hell happened? How didn't they get there?
You know what these two, and especially against a team like Maryland, you know for sure.
Keep in mind that Taulia Tagovailoa drops back to throw it about 40 times a game. That's a lot of opportunities for the big boys to get after him. So,
but I he's also got, I think he's got a little bit more mobility than maybe he's what they mobile see from most of the quarterbacks this year. So that might be something to keep your eye on. I know early in the game, Sean Clifford had that, you know, same type of thing where he was able to run. He was breaking off big chunk plays, and then Penn State went away from it, maybe because he was injured. But Tagovailoa could pose that same problem. So that might be something to watch out for. I am getting an echo. I'm going to exit out. I'm going to come back in. I'll be back in like 30 seconds.
Okay, I was just going to throw up Cody's comment real quick. Is the frog's ass watertight? You know, I like those things. Is the bear shit in the woods? Anybody else have any of those? Throw them up in the comments if you do. I like stuff like that, those old sayings right there. But no, I mean, I'm with you, man. I feel like I said in the write-up, like I'm saying right now, it feels like a layup. It feels like an automatic that David Ojabo and Aiden Hutchinson are going to get at least one sack. I mean, sacks are hard, man. The all-time record for sacks in a season at Michigan is freaking 12. It's hard to do. And these guys have made it look so easy that you kind of expect it now. I don't know if that's fair or not, but that's what the expectation is because they've been so good. So anyway, and last but not least, dude, last but not freaking least.
Let's hear it.
Jake Moody.
Are we talking records? Are we
Jake
talking
Moody.
Records?
Comes back. He did not kick a field goal last week against Penn State. That also seems weird. It just seems like an automatic and a given that he will be in there. Jake Moody will connect on at least a 40-yard field goal tomorrow in College Park. 40 yards out.
Yeah, I'd say smart okay. call because I've actually that plays into some of my picks later on in the show here. So another smart call by Brandon Brown.
There you go. The bangs another one through. I believe he needs four to tie the all-time record of 25 set by Remy Hamilton in 1994. and 5 to set the new record. So he's got a few games left to do it. But if honestly, though, man, like you don't really want to see him. That's what sucks about the record and about Jake Moody. Like he's been awesome. You want him to set records, but you want Michigan to score touchdowns. So we'll see how that plays out and how that looks. Put this up real quick for TJ Carpenter. TJ, Ojabo and Hutchinson both have 10 sacks apiece. So they both need
two
and a half more to take the lead. Yeah, 12 is the record. They both need two or three, however you want to look at it. Two and a half or three to actually set the record. So they've got time, man. They have got time. What are we laughing at? What happened?
I'm seeing, was it Jeremy Mattson in the comments here?
Oh, I didn't even. I want to scroll down. Brandon, you
I just read it.
Take on Michigan. You mention it, and there's a legitimate rebuttal. You say it is what it is. What are we referring to right now? I've been pretty damn positive over the last. I mean, they're 9-1, man. Like I thought they'd be worse than this, and they're not. I don't really know what that's referring to. I don't think I've been salty at all, honestly. Well, I think I pretty much call it like it is all the way across. If it's good, I'll say it's good. If it's bad, I'll say it's bad. People have a problem with that, but
that's asshole.
Yeah, that's me. Well, this is the segment. If you want to call me that, now's the time, right? That's
what we're doing. Prick.
There it is. All right, that's all I got. Those are my five. Those are my five predictions.
Well,
for
you
tomorrow.
You did relatively well. What was the only? What was the stupid thing? Oh, the
Eric Hall. Right. I mean, dude, look, you're not wrong. He's done it one time in 27 games. I mean, smart money.
I would love to see it.
Smart money is on that. He will not do it again tomorrow. But I just he's been so involved, man. I can't remember. I'd have to look up the numbers. He's had like 19 catches over the last three games, I think, that he's played. So, I mean, he's been far more involved than he's been in the past. And I think that makes it possible that he's targeted a little bit more. He's obviously got a chemistry with Cade. Certainly going to be
roommates.
Yeah. There you go.
I didn't even know. Like, I feel like if Eric Hall and Cade McNamara can get something going over the next 2 weeks here, especially against Ohio State, like he's going to need, I think that might be the key to success in getting that offense down the field, is not having to stretch it down the field with some of the, you know, the wide receivers, but how he works with Eric Hall. I think that that's going to play a big role in that final game. So would love to see him get in the end zone again. Absolutely.
There you have it. There you have it. All right. Well, we're going to keep it right. We're going to keep it moving right along, man. We've got a lot of segments to get to. We had a good 20-minute chunk there from Ahmed. So right into it, man. Couple big ones this weekend, at least one big one, right?
Big 10.
Dude, it's Michigan State at Ohio State. On paper, it looks amazing. The Buckeyes are favored by more over Michigan State than Michigan is over Maryland. Let that sink in for a minute. The Buckeyes are favored by 19.5 in the Shoe in Columbus at noon. What do you see happening here, Chris?
Well, I think what Ohio State does really well is what Michigan State doesn't do very well. Ohio State can throw the ball down the field and Michigan State can't defend. And I think that's a big reason why you see such a big point spread there. When you add on to the fact that it's in Columbus, I think the Buckeyes run away with this thing personally, internally. I'm hoping for that, and it feels gross and it feels disgusting. I said earlier on the winged helmet, I would prefer a sinkhole, but if we can't get the sinkhole to swallow both teams, I reluctantly have to pull for the Buckeyes. And you know what, though? It's gotten easier over the years because I really, really hate Michigan State. I don't like their fans. I don't like their team. I don't like their pro. I don't like nothing about them. So it's a little bit easier this time.
I don't like their face. Yeah, I don't like anything.
I don't like your
them.
Face.
Luckily, Michigan fans have to pull for Ohio State tomorrow, and I think they're going to wax that ass. I think they're going to win by like 30. I think the talent discrepancy is so big. Ooh. I mean, I know Michigan State beat Michigan, but at home, Ohio State, I think it's going to be basketball on turf, man.
I've heard the All Blacks are coming out.
I think they're going to win. I think they're going to win big. I think they're going to cover. I think 19.5 is a massive spread for a top 10 matchup, but I think they're going to cover. I think they're going to win by a lot. I think the receivers are going to have a huge day. I think Travion Henderson is going to have a huge day. Kenneth Walker might get his. He might do a little something, but I don't think it's going to be anywhere near enough to hang with Ohio State, who's putting 50 burgers on people in like 2.5 quarters.
Dude,
like they are rolling right now on offense.
Think about how well this weekend can play out for Michigan fans and Michigan football by the end of the weekend, by the time you lay your head down to go to sleep, think about what November 27th could mean. And just the week leading up to that, I know you got to get through Saturday here, but man, I definitely did not expect to be in this position. And I'm hoping it plays out the way we all hope it does.
I'm looking something up real quick. A fan asked, a fellow homeboy asked what the over, where was that? Matthew Stevenson from the YouTube page. The over is 68.5 points. 68.5 over under on the total points. It's probably over. I think I take the over because I think Michigan State, I think Ohio State might score 40 or 50 by themselves.
Yeah.
You got to think Michigan State's going to score at least two touchdowns, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Ohio State's defense isn't amazing.
I think Michigan State's going to score points. I just think Ohio State's going to score a decent amount more. I could see it being like a 27-42 type of game where it's still not a close deal.
I will be shocked if Michigan State wins that game. I see a couple people in the comments saying they think I'll be shocked. I think Ohio State's going to run away with it. I don't think it's going to be close. On the flip side, this was actually a little tricky. I mean, we'll see what you think, Chris. Minnesota at Indiana, pretty freaking lame.
Pretty lame. What time?
About that 3:30.
It doesn't even matter what time. No, I don't care.
It's pretty lame. It's a pretty lame game. I mean, Minnesota. Well, Minnesota's favored by 7 in Bloomington. That number's a little interesting to me, but
meh.
There was another one that was pretty boring, but the only reason I didn't pick it, what was it? Purdue. It was Purdue Northwestern. First of all, on the surface, how lame is that one?
Well, sounds lame, but I've got some interest in Purdue.
You know why it's not quite as lame, though? It's at Wrigley Field. That's kind of cool.
I didn't know that.
That's kind of cool. That adds to it. I mean, I think Minnesota.
I would tune in and watch it a little bit strictly for that. Like. I've got no interest in watching Minnesota at Indiana.
That's exactly where I was. When I saw that it was at Wrigley, I was like, there's a little intrigue there. The teams, whatever. But I'd turn that on at least to see what it looks like, see what's happening. Yeah. Purdue or Minnesota, Indiana. I probably won't see 1 minute of it, and I don't care. I'm fine with that. So yeah, it's a little sleepy in the. I mean, but none of the matchups were like horrible. Minnesota's kind of hanging in there in the West. I guess they're trying to. It's not like the worst two teams matched up.
Penn State and Rutgers, right?
Just a boring game to watch. Wouldn't want to watch it at all. So that's what I came up with in the Big Ten. Minnesota at Indiana at 3:30. Yeah. I said, when you're looking at the other one at Wrigley Field, it's kind of cool at least. Even though the teams in that one aren't that awesome either. But anyway, I'll put Jeremy's comment back up there. Not enough characters to make my point. It just seems like nothing Harbaugh can do this year to make you believe. Believe what? I've been over Jim Harbaugh for like a year and a half. I mean, nothing's changed. He's done better this year than I thought he would. But I haven't talked once about like moving on from Harbaugh or like it's still time to get – it's not the time for that. It's not the time for that, and it's not appropriate right now. I still think a lot hinges on how that last game of the season looks. Like, dude, he's supposed to beat Maryland. He's supposed to beat – we've talked about this before. It's like – okay, if Michigan loses to Ohio State during that last game of the season, and then this class, do you think Aiden Hutchinson's like, damn, I'm glad we got those extra two wins for Coach Harbaugh?
Dude, I've said it before. He doesn't give a shit about the winning percentage.
Yeah, it's just a weird thing. Like, there's been these weird, like skewed little stats, like Michigan, the only team along with what was it, the four or five others?
It was Michigan, Bama, Clemson, Oklahoma, and Ohio State, I think, were the five.
And Michigan.
And there was an attempt there to like put Michigan in the class. And like with the obvious big difference being like Michigan was the only one out of the bunch to never win a conference title, never even play for a conference title, never make the college football playoffs. So again, like if win total, and I don't want to make look. I feel like we've been fair all year long and giving credit where credit is due. When these guys go out and perform and take care of business, I feel like we give them all the credit in the world. But at the same time, when they don't and when they come up short, I think it's also fair to have that discussion. And so Yeah, I mean, they haven't played the biggest game of the season yet, and I think it would be premature based on the previous 6 years to all of a sudden say, hey, you know, yeah, he's gotten the job done. The biggest game is yet to come, and we'll see.
Hey, Jeremy, I've picked Michigan to lose one time this season. Once. Like, are you kidding me? One time. At Wisconsin, that's it. I was very wrong, but that's the only time I picked them to lose. Preseason, I said 7-5. I mean, I'll own that all day. I mean, there's a million places you can go out there and find me saying that. I'm not hiding from that. They've been better than I thought. I think it's also fair to say that the other teams I picked them to lose against have been a lot worse than I thought.
Yeah.
Washington's terrible. Indiana has been terrible. You know, they beat Penn State. That was a good win. I didn't see that happening in Happy Valley. They also lost to Michigan State. I picked them to win that game. So, like, you know, let's call a spade here. I think I've been more than fair. And I'm picking them to win this weekend by a lot. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to pick them to lose next week. So there you go. Call that unfair if you want. Call that being salty. Call that being a hater. I think it's just watching football and talking about what I see. That's what I think it is. So anyway, there you go.
Dick.
Couple decent games in the Big Ten this week. A couple snoozers, but that's kind of the way it is every week, right? I mean, that's how it works.
Yeah.
Chris, you know what we've got next, dude? It's over-unders. Yeah. It's over-unders.
I love it.
What do you like better, over-unders or burning questions?
Burning questions is one of my favorites.
All right, here we go. Over-unders. I've talked a lot, Chris. Get us started.
All right, man. I will kick us off here as soon as I'm able to pull up my notes. There they are. All right, Brandon, on Saturday, I've got the total points for Michigan and Maryland set at 50.5. 50.5.
I'll go over, but it's by like a ball hair. I mean, because that's I got him at 51 points. We haven't given our exact.
I know who you're talking about. That could be a lot.
Whoa. It's one of my favorite ways to talk about a very slight margin.
Well,
anyway,
I've heard that used the other way around, and it's equally as funny.
Okay. I'll say over, but it's by a tiny bit. I mean, I guess I can say the score now. We'll get into the specifics later, but no. I've got Michigan winning 37. Whoa. I said 37-13. You said 50.5?
I said 50.5, yeah.
I guess I got to go under. I was thinking I had 51 for some reason in my head, but I guess it's like, what was the term? What was the measurement I used?
the ball hair, the nut hair?
It's very close. I'll say under by the smallest of margins.
And I am over by an equally small margin, one ball hair. I think I've got 38-13, which would put me, 51 points. So, you know, slightly over.
Ridiculous sex? Sex
No, I don't, Jim.
What's ball hair here or there?
It's a Friday night.
It's a game of ball hairs. Could you say that? You could say that.
I hope they say it on the podcast tomorrow. Gus Johnson. Oh, good Lord. All right, let me compose myself. This was a topic of discussion last week. J.J. McCarthy did not play against Penn State. Does he tomorrow? J.J. McCarthy over under 5.5 snaps.
I'll say over because I do think Michigan will be in control handily here in the second half. And I would expect at that point, JJ is going to get a little bit of time. If it's close, I don't see it happening. But if Michigan takes care of business, I think 5.5. Well, you got 5.5.
Yeah.
I would hammer the over. Yeah.
I think so too. Same reason. I mean, I think Michigan should win by a decent amount. You get them a couple reps. Jim Harbaugh certainly aware that he didn't play last week. He's had to address it a couple times throughout the media. And it, like I said, I'm not bothered by it, but it's a little weird because it's just different from what we've seen all season. So we'll see, man. I mean, expect Michigan to win by a lot. They're favored by quite a bit. I think McCarthy should probably get back in there. If not, yeah, Kyle over here, Kyle Bodkins from the Facebook page says if McCarthy doesn't play, it's not a good sign. I don't know if I would go quite that far, but I would start to think yeah. Like that's noteworthy. If two games in a row he doesn't play at all after playing basically all season long. Weirdly, I mean, like we've said, we haven't loved the approach, but he's been in there, and then he wasn't. Then he wasn't against Penn State. So yeah, I would think that's something to keep an eye on. We'll see how it goes.
All right. Well, we talked a little bit about this earlier in the show, and I'm sure you're probably going to have this in your over under. So I'm going to ask it. I got David Ojabo Aiden Hutchinson combined at 3.5 sacks on the afternoon.
Oh, man. I'm going to say under. That's a lot of sacks. I mean, I know they did it last week. That's not typical. 5 sacks between 2 guys is not typical. So I will say under. I think they both get home at least once. But to get 2 apiece or, you know, 3, however you slice it, 2 apiece or 3-1 or whatever it would need to be to go over 3.5 is a lot, man. I'll say under. I think Water will find its level a little bit on that. They're super good. They're going to be super disruptive, but that's a lot of sacks.
It will find its level, but it's not going to happen this Saturday. Okay. I would hammer the over. I think Hutchinson and Ojabo get at least 2 apiece. I just think they're going to be eating all day long. You know, November 27th might be a bit of a different story just based on the challenge it's going to pose, but I think they're going to have a big, big Saturday.
I mean, look, if they blew past that number, I wouldn't be like,
you won't be.
I wouldn't be surprised, but that's just hard, man. Like we just talked about, it's hard to get sacks. That's why the numbers are what they are at a place like Michigan, who's had a lot of good pass rushers over the years. I actually don't have that on my over-under list this week, so we'll keep it moving there. All right. From the sounds of it, we won't see Blake Corum tomorrow. Maybe we do, maybe we don't. But if he's not out there, Hassan Haskins is certainly going to be the bell cow again. So if that's how it plays out, which I feel like it's going to, and if I was running things, that is how I would play it out. I'd let Blake rest another week. Although he is from, like, that area. So I wonder if that's factoring in a little bit. I've thought about that. But anyways, Hassan Haskins over under 28.5 carries tomorrow. 28.5.
I'll say over. Say over for
it's
sure.
It's a lot again.
Yeah, and I don't expect Blake Corum to play either, so I think that's going to factor into it. But I think Michigan's going to be able to run the ball as much as they want, and they've shown that if Hassan Haskins can get lathered up, they'll just keep giving him the ball. So I think that that's a pretty safe bet to hammer the over.
So my only thought here is that they don't, because they're winning and they want to give him a little bit of a break. I mean, it's a physical.
I mean, you got a healthy Edwards now, right? Presumably he played last week, so might be an opportunity to get him some healthy reps.
Yeah, so I would go under, but not by a lot. And I guess depending on how the game plays out is going to be the big deciding factor for me. If it's closer than expected, then I think they're going to feed him, and they're going to feed him, and they're going to feed him. Like we saw last week, he carried it 31 times. But I think Michigan will have a good enough lead. They'll put some other guys in a little bit, and I don't want to say rest him, but there's no reason to ride him like you did last week if the game's at hand. So I'll say under by a little bit, mid to high 20s though.
Agreed. All right. I think Moody's going to use the hammer to just whack it all over the field on Saturday. I've got his long field goal distance set at 42.5 yards on Saturday. 42.5 for the long.
I'll say over. I think he's good for like
late November with maybe some, a little bit of a breeze. Okay.
I think he's good for like a 44, 45 yarder tomorrow. That's what I see.
I take the under.
One offensive series bogging down a little bit. He knocks through a long one. That's what I see.
I feel like if it's that type of situation and it's short yardage, I think I would anticipate that Michigan will probably be going for it on fourth down. So that's kind of where I'm at. I'll take the under, but I could see it being, you know, 38, 39 yards. I don't think we're going to get over that 42, though.
Okay, so you set the number.
That's what my crystal ball is telling me.
6, 8, 14. Had to count something up real quick for my next one. I forgot to put the total. I have the total that I'm picking, but there's a reason why I picked this number.
Right on.
Michigan wide receivers. Wide receivers only. 12.5 receptions tomorrow. What I was counting up was against Michigan State, they had 15. Wide receivers in that game had 15 grabs. I set the number tomorrow at 12.5.
It seems like over should be an easy choice, but it feels more. I'm gonna go over. I think it's got to be over. Okay. I think it's got to be over, so I'll say over.
And it feels
weird that it's like 12 receptions by all of your wideouts doesn't seem like a lot in a game.
And I don't know this for sure. I didn't go through and look at all of them. I probably could have done that. I mean, it's not a huge deal for this segment that we do, but I would assume Michigan State was probably the high mark, don't you think, for receiving
seconds? I would think so.
Roman Wilson had 6 against Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I could go back and look. Well, it doesn't really matter. The number 12. Eric All had 10 catches that day. So obviously he was very involved, but I'm going to go under. I'm going to go under a little bit. I think Eric All is involved. I think Schoonmaker might be involved. I think you know, you might see the running backs get some play in there. So I'll go under. I'm with you. Like, you know, the numbers, that's not a huge number, but you know, based on how the passing game has worked all season, I think it's going to be close to that. I might think, you know, it might be at about 11 or 12. So I'll go under by a little bit.
Right on. All right. I think you're up next, right?
No, that one was mine.
Are you sure? Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Cause I'm okay. Well, I'm rolling into, I've got Andrell. So I've singled him out specifically. You've got the wideout group. I've got Andrell specifically. His reception set at 4.5. Four and a half Saturday in College Park.
Under. Should be over, but it's almost like he's only allowed to play within 20 minutes of his house or something. I don't know. Like, I don't know what's happened. He was the man against Michigan State, and he's played like not very much.
Is it really possible that you can show up and just ball out one game like that and like not have that ever again or before? I don't know, man.
I mean, he very obviously showed something against Michigan State, and it just hasn't happened again since. I don't know why. I don't know how that happens. Yeah, okay, that's a good point. He did get dinged up against Indiana, so he hasn't played a lot since then, and there was probably a pitch count type of thing, but he didn't
play a lot before that either.
I was going to say, you've got 7 weeks before the Michigan State game to lean on as well, so I'll say under.
I'm going to get bold and say over. Okay. I mean, if he's able to play, if he's healthy, I would think, you know, if Andrell Anthony is in the game, then to me that says he can catch the ball, he can play the game of football. So if he's hurt and he can't perform the way he's supposed to perform, I don't know why he's even out there. I would say I'm going to take the over. I'm going to go bold. I think they get the ball to Andrell Anthony. I think he has a big – are the Maryland secondaries anything to write home about? I don't think so. I mean –
they're supposed to be pretty good, but they've given up a lot of numbers, man. That's what I'm saying.
Like –
yeah, 105th in the country in passing defense. Not good. So even though they're individually, they're pretty talented back there, I think. But I think if I remember correctly, Ahmed said they're dealing with some injuries back there too. But anyway, they haven't been very good on defense, period. So that's another reason why I think Michigan's going to be just fine tomorrow. One of the only things that I think could be an equalizer, and we haven't seen it all season out of Michigan, they've been phenomenal in this area, but Michigan turnovers set at 1.5. So either they're going to take care of the ball or they're going to turn it over. 1.5 of a turnover, Chris. What do you got?
Under.
No turnovers.
No turnovers. I think this is the type of game where what Cade McNamara does well is really going to serve them well, where you essentially just manage your way to a victory. I don't think he's going to have to do a lot. I think he can hit a lot of those intermediate passes, turn around, give the ball to Son Haskins, let him do work. I think it's just going to be a clean game offensively for the Wolverines. I would say under.
I'm going to say over just on the – it's football's a long game. I mean, one turnover is not a problem. I mean, that's not an issue. That just freaking happens. I mean, a guy – you know, running backs go through the lane and bump their elbow on their lineman's ass and the ball comes out. I mean, it's just such a freak fluke thing. Michigan's been incredible at taking care of the ball, but it's a long game. I mean, I think it's much more rare – to go through a game without one than it is to have one. But Michigan's kind of turned that on its head this year because they've had several games where they haven't turned it over. So I'll say over, but like they've been so good that I won't be surprised if they do play a clean game like you said. But I'll say over. I think they'll do it. I think they'll turn it over once.
All right, for my final over-under, he's been the man over the last 2 weeks. I think he's averaging right around 160 yards a game. I've got Hassan Haskins rushing yards on Saturday set at 161.5.
Ooh. Man, that's a lot of yards.
A big, big day for H2. Another big day. What, he had 163 last weekend and 158 against Indy?
Man, dude, that's a lot of yards, but you ain't lying, man.
He's a workhorse.
God, I can't say over to that number. That's a big number, dude.
It's a big number, yeah.
I gotta say under. I mean, he'll probably make me eat my words because he's just a horse and that's what he does. But that's a lot of yards to be putting up some money on. I mean, we got a lot of money riding on this, right?
We do. And you know what? in spite of that, I'm hammering the over on that.
Okay. Because he, okay.
This guy is whatever version of in the zone that, you know, at that position you can be, he is in the zone. The guy, like I said, don't just watch the way he runs the ball. Look at the little things. Watch the way he blocks when he's out there. He's physical. He's embracing the moment. I think he likes carrying the load, and I think Michigan likes letting him carry the load. I think he's going to go over 160 and a half, 161 and a half pretty easily.
Chris says he's going to do it in the first half. We'll see.
We might be looking at 225 on Saturday. I'm just saying.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Maryland can't stop the run.
I'm just saying.
We'll see. I'm. That's just such a big number. That's not like a.
That's your big boy. That's your big thing.
Yeah, that's your big boy. That's not a. I don't believe in Haskins or the O line or the offense. That's just a lot. That's a lot of yards. I mean, he's probably done it just the one time this year. I think last week, right?
I think so. That was his first going over 160. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. That's a lot of number. That's a lot of yards, though. All right. Last but not least, and I think this is going to be one of the more fun things to watch because he's not the biggest dude in the world. He is mobile, but he drops back and he stands back there an awful lot, man. Talia Tagovailoa over under 13 and a half times getting hit. That's either sacks or knockdowns combined. 13 and a half times on the turf, on his keister.
I'm going to go under because I think his mobility will help him get out of some of those situations, but I think it'll be pretty damn close. I could see him getting hit, knocked down 10 times. A lot of quarterback hurries. I think they're going to be getting in the backfield a lot.
I'm going to go under too, but just by a little bit for the same reasons. He can move. They know who they're dealing with. Mike Locksley's an offensive guy. I don't think they're going to see a lot of play action, a lot of five-step stuff. I mean, they're going to want to get it out, let him use that whip of an arm, push it quickly. They do have some talented receivers. I don't know exactly who's available tomorrow because they have some guys hurt. But if they put him on a, you know, if they put him on a perch back there and let Aiden Hutchinson and Ojabo tee off, then they have not been paying attention.
Not a good idea.
I'll say under, but I do think they're going to make it a long day for him. They'll sack him a few times. They'll hurry him a lot. But in terms of like knocking him on the ground, I think they're going to scheme and do everything possible to not let that happen because he's only about a buck 90, 200 pounds. Yeah. You know, he's kind of wispy.
I stood next to him at Big Ten Media Days, and I was like, you know, you get around a lot of these. I stood next to Aiden Hutchinson, and it was like, holy shit, this is a big guy. But he wasn't, you know, looked he's like not he could as, hang out with him.
He's like not a normal as dude. He's not as thick or as put together as Sean Clifford. I'll tell you that. And we saw how he looked.
Yeah.
Dude, he's still in the ice bath, dude. It's Friday. He's still laying in there. So we'll see how that looks, man. But I think they're going to make it hard for him. I really do. But I'll say under, just by a little bit. He's a veteran quarterback. He's smart. He'll get rid of the ball. Although, you know, getting rid of the ball can still result in a knockdown sometimes. So we'll see how that goes. But I'll say under by just a little bit. There you have it. Over unders, dude. And actually, man.
We did it.
Feel pretty good about those. We didn't repeat any. Closest thing we had was the wide receiver thing, but you went
might have been the first time that's ever happened.
Yeah, you went with Andrell specifically. I went with the whole group, so I like that. We came out of there with 10 individual unique over-unders for us to pay attention to tomorrow. All right, last thing, man, last segment. Going to talk about a couple big matchups across the country, then we'll finish with our Michigan-Maryland game and spread. Get your wallets out, boys. Get them out. Put big money down on this right now. Big money. There's only two. Oh, well, you already talked about one. Michigan State, Ohio State is one ranked matchup. There's only two other ones. Not the best weekend in the world for college football matchups, but the first one we're going to talk about, man, and I haven't seen them play much, and maybe I'll get a chance to do that a little while. Probably not this game, but some of the other games, because we've been on the road for pretty much all the games, either at the home games or traveling for the road ones. You don't get to watch a lot of football. That might change a little bit tomorrow. I plan on sitting on the couch a lot, so we'll see how that goes. But first one, Arkansas, number 21, Arkansas, at number 2, Alabama. Dude, 20.5. 20.5 favored for Alabama. It's at 3:30. It's in Tuscaloosa.
I'll take Arkansas. Arkansas. That's a lot of points. That's a lot of points. I know it's on the road. I know Alabama's Alabama, but I can't see it.
I think Alabama's going to cover. I do. I think they're starting to get into like campaign mode down the
stretch. They are.
I think they're going to cover. That's a big number, dude. I mean, we talked about the number with the Michigan game, but and the Ohio State game too. Both all of those big numbers for late season conference opponents. But that's I'm taking Bama. I think they're going to cover 20.5. I think they're going to blow Arkansas out of the water. Next one before we, or last one before we get into the Michigan game specifically, this one is very interesting, dude. I don't know if you've seen this.
Lay it on me. Let's hear it.
Or heard anybody talking about it. Number 3 Oregon at number 23 Utah. Utah is favored by 3.
Wow. No, I did not hear that. Yeah. But when you said at you, what time is the game?
7:30 night game. Yeah. Yep.
You know, to me, that is like going to Kinnick. It's like going to Happy Valley. There's something that happens out there.
Out in the mountains.
In the mountains in Utah at night. A lot of things that probably happen in the mountains in Utah at night. But one of the things that happens is that team plays very well. I still think I think the Ducks are going to go and win the game. I'll take the Ducks.
You take the Ducks outright.
I'll take the Ducks outright. Take the Ducks outright.
And you know what? I'm with you. I didn't put any money on this one, and I've heard – I think they're a little dinged up. I think their starting running back is out for the season. I think their quarterback is a little bit banged up too. But, I don't know, man. Number 3, dog on the road. No, not getting any love.
I don't get that. I think that's going to play into a little bit of a motivational factor on Saturday.
Kayvon Thibodeau's a force off the end. I'm rolling with Oregon, but there seems to be a lot of people who think that Utah could be tricky on the.
It's not an ideal place to play at night. That's for sure.
Yeah, Michael's throwing up a stat here. If that's true, then you kind of understand a little bit why. Maybe that's not the exact number, but if Utah's 40-8 at home since 2013, then that's obviously that's a pretty good endorsement for the Utes. So we'll see. I'm going with Oregon.
But they still got Whittingham out there?
They do. Yeah. And he's about it, man. He knows what he's doing. He's a business-like guy. They don't screw up a lot. They're just
carved out a nice little comfy spot out there in Utah.
Yeah, he really has. He really has. So I'm going to go with the Ducks, but a lot of people seem to think that Oregon's going to get exposed and they're going to lose this weekend. And
that's not that far out there.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, and last but not least, Michigan on the road at Maryland, favored by 15.5 at this point, man. 15.5, number 6, Michigan, 3:30 kick, College Park. We went through all of our over-unders, all of our predictions. We're all on the Michigan train. It's just about that number, that 15.5 number.
Yeah, I'm over. I've got Michigan, 38-13.
Yeah.
So hammering the over there. I think they're starting to mesh at the right time, and it's nice to see it happen. I think the momentum, everything is sort of building towards the right thing happening. And like I said, the X factor here, the difference maker, is the leadership. Easily take the over.
Yeah, I'm also going to take them to cover. Let me think back. Every game this season, except for Michigan State, Michigan has covered. I believe that's accurate. Even though, you know, the tougher ones on the road. How much did they end up beating Nebraska by? I can't remember. That might be another one I'd have to look back on. But Michigan historically is not great against the spread. They've been a monster against this year.
Yeah. Like I said,
every game except for the Michigan State game that they lost, obviously, I think they beat the spread. They covered the spread. So I will also take Michigan to cover. 15.5 is a lot, but I said 37-13. That's 24 points right there. It's just like, thank you, Michael, 32-29 over Nebraska. Michigan had to be favored by more than 3 in that game. So they might not have covered that one. I don't know.
I mean, they were a dog heading into Camp Randall, though. Remember? I thought they were favored going into that game, but at that point, Wisconsin had been struggling and Michigan had been doing well and still win it. So I don't remember what the spread was from that game.
Yeah, Rutgers. I couldn't have covered against Rutgers either. 7 points?
No, couldn't have.
That stat's bullshit. I heard that somewhere, that's not right. All I had to do was do a little dive, and I would have found out that was bogus. But anyway, 15.5. They have covered in some games this year that I thought they wouldn't. There's no doubt about that. Michigan, it's what I put in my write-up. It's like the game's kind of boring. It's not super explosive. They run the ball a ton. The defense is pretty solid. And then you look up and they're up 3 touchdowns. It's like, damn, dude, they've done that multiple times this year. I think they do it again tomorrow. I think they run the ball well. I think their defense is It's been bend don't break this year, but what I think they're gonna shut Maryland down. I don't think they're gonna score very much, so I think they're gonna cover. I think they're gonna win by 20 plus and roll into that dude. Roll into that matchup with Ohio State at 10-1, bro.
Ooh, the storylines. Like, I'm already thinking of like
my biggest goal
has to happen. A lot has to.
My biggest goal for that week is just to make sure Chris has pants on in the press box. That's it.
That's really I can't make any guarantees.
I'm with you.
I got to be honest. Like, I don't feel like I could have picked a better first year to be doing this. I mean, the idea of being in the press box, Michigan, Ohio State, everything on the line. I'm excited to see it. If I can keep my emotions in check, it will be a victory.
Okay. Well, there you go. Michigan, just a 2.5-point favorite over Nebraska. So they did cover winning by 3. So there you go. But yeah, the Rutgers one. Yeah, Rutgers for sure. They were favored by way more than 7. I know that for a fact. I remember because I'm pretty sure I lost money on that game. Anyway, got a nice little streak going. I found out a little. I don't know if it's a loophole, but I've been putting money down on. I've been doing like a 10, 12. I think I got a 16-leg parlay going right now, dude.
Does your wife know about all this?
Oh, she's what I tell. She doesn't care, but I tell her about them every day.
Okay.
All right. All the huge favorites in college basketball, like the teams that are picked to win by like 20, I just go down and pick the money line. So I got like 16 of them. They all win. I'm about to quadruple my money tonight on a 16-leg parlay. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm on a heater. I've won 3 days in a row. Throw that out there for everybody.
You're an impressive man
right now, Chris.
No, I wouldn't judge you. I just haven't stepped into the gambling world yet. I got enough vices.
It's a fun world, bro.
No, if I get into that world, there may be no coming back. I may just change forever. I might start walking around wearing like suits with big pinstripes, trading stocks.
I'm in a glass case of emotion. Chris is like out on his ass. Bro, I need a front this month, bro.
I lost everything. That would happen.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the most I've ever bet on any one bet is like $40. But
that's the same logic my wife uses. Like, she'll go out and shop and she'll be like, well, I got these shirts for like $3 a piece. And I'm like, well, when you're buying 37 shirts a day, it adds up.
So how about this? I'm going to get off of here. I'm going to go take a nap for 4 hours. I'm going to wake up and still have 15 minutes before the basketball game starts. How about that? That's wild. 12:30 tip, dude. 12, I'm really not going to take a nap because then I won't be able to sleep tonight after the game. So, anyway, I love it. I love Friday shows. Full slate, man. We had a guest. Thank you to Ahmed again for coming on talking Maryland. We got through 4 or 5 different segments. Chris called me dumb once. We talked about pubic hair. I mean, we did. I mean, again, another show. We got it all, man. I don't know what you're not finding this shit anywhere else, dude. I dare someone else in the Michigan market to talk about pubic hair. I dare them.
Dare you.
It's what we do, man. Thanks for listening, everybody. Watch that game tomorrow. Michigan should move to 10-1. We'll be on to talk about it immediately after. And then, I mean, we don't even need to say it. We'll be saying plenty. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you.